Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
In the SEC Conference, we're going to build the best football program in the SEC Conference.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Field. You have now arrived at Stadium and Field.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, not the same quarter, not the same time, but the depth chart dropped, so we got to pull up and talk some shenanigans and whatnot. Dan, what it do, baby?
Man, it's good to be here. Glad we could make this work. Sorry we're a little bit late, but we've had some of our best shows at the wee hours of the evening. So, man, good to have you. Hope your son's football practice was good, man.
It was solid, man. Coach got long winded with the post practice speech and whatnot, bro. I was trying to wrap it up. Almost had to wrap it up box for him like Dave Chappelle, man. But yeah, depth chart drop, bro. What do you think?
Yeah, no, a lot of things to go over. So let's pull it up here. I do want to give a quick shout out to D. It's up. They're catching his hands. Waits is starting on the O-line. Montrell back too. We'll get into each position here. We appreciate everybody for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button, comment. It helps the algorithm, helps us get out there more. Appreciate everybody for watching at 9:22 Eastern time today. So Corey, before we get into anything, biggest surprise, offense, defense, special teams, what's your biggest surprise?
I think everybody's biggest surprise, probably Cam Waits. That's my biggest surprise. A few things. I know they're saying the Orrs on the depth chart. So, Big Dez may not be starting at nose tackle. Who knows? The streets are saying that's still Cam Jackson. But Cam Waits starting at right tackle, out of left field, the transfer. We all thought that he was going to be the guy there. Crenshaw Dixon Jr., he's not the guy. Good development, in my opinion. I've been holding down Cam Waits for a little minute and holding him accountable to developing and getting better. Been holding Sale accountable with, getting out the guys that we brought in, either from the transfer portal, recruiting, whoever, developing these guys after being on campus several years, man. So glad to see that a big guy, a lot of size. He's going to be going against Bang. I just hope he's ready to play ball, but love to see there's a different face there in the competition played itself out at that spot.
Absolutely. I think it's worth noting you mentioned the Orrs. The Orrs are listed in numerical order, so don't read it as Desmond Watson is ahead of Cam Jackson. They're just in numerical order. You'll see that with Justice Boone, Cameron James, or as you called him earlier, James Cameron, and Tyreek Sapp, right? You'll notice that at the F position, the nose tackle position, the end position, the jack position, backup linebacker, the other linebacker position, the star position, A lot of ors in there, but again, those are in numerical order, not necessarily in who is on top of the depth chart there. So let's run it down for everybody. At wide receiver, no surprise, Eugene Wilson, and backing him up is Aiden Mizell. No surprise there. We can just move on.
Last show we kind of spoke about like Billy bringing up Aiden Mizell, and I didn't think that was by accident, and it kind of reflected itself on the depth chart. So, yeah, good stuff.
Absolutely. So next is Shamiri DK and Marcus Burke as the next wide receiver slot that is there. Again, no surprise. We've heard good things out of Marcus Burke this offseason. DK comes over from Wisconsin, maybe doesn't wow everybody during spring camp, during the spring orange and blue debut, but we've heard during the summer and during fall camp that he's really stepped up. Great opportunity for him to prove himself there. This is one of those or positions, right? I'm not sure if you did, Corey, last week. I'm not sure if we got your opinion on it. We have an Elijah Badger, Khalil Jackson, or situation at that third wide receiver spot. So, again, we had heard and talked about Elijah Badger coming over during the summer, just getting used to Graham Mertz, getting used to this offense. A lot of haters didn't want Elijah Badger to be in that or spot, Silk, but lo and behold, the Arizona State transfer Elijah Badger is in the or for that wide receiver position.
Yeah, Khalil Jackson may start because they're saying it's in numerical order, but I expect Badger to get plenty of reps at that spot. But a lot of speed at the position, you know, good size. The smallest guy is Eugene Wilson at 5'10", but him separating, he plays 6'3", it don't even matter. But good size, good speed at the position, man. We definitely just – the roster is tremendously upgraded from top to bottom, but the receiver rooms look stout and ready to go, man. I like it.
Yep. And then, of course, Andy Jean is injured, and Tank Hawkins, you'll notice, is not on here as well. He is also injured right now. Moving down to left tackle, we've got Austin Barber, Devin Manuel, the transfer from Arkansas, and then freshman Fletcher Westfall. So you got a 6'6 1/4", a 6'7", and a 6'8" left tackle. 314, 319, and 321, respectively. Again, no surprise. We talked about all of that this offseason. Then at left guard, you have Najee Harris, who we talked a lot about in that position. Christian Williams, and then Rod Kearney. Again, an or situation. I'm thinking that from what I've heard, Corey, I think what you've heard, it's probably Rod Kearney first and then Christian Williams. But again, 6'3", 6'4 1/4", 6'4", solid size there at that left guard position.
100%.
Center.
No
surprises thus far, really. Jake Slaughter, Rod Kearney, and Jason Zandamella, the transfer from USC. He is a freshman, but that is what that order is. Again, we expected Jake Slaughter. We expect Jake Slaughter to have a good year. No surprises. Then we get to right guard. We got Damian George, Bryce Lovett, and then Cam Waits, 6'6", 6'5", and 6'8". Anthony Beck here, appreciate the super chat, my friend. I need Damian George to be on a very short leash.
100%. Also, too, at this spot, I definitely want – I think he is on a short leash. But also, I think the back of a Damian George is probably Kearney, in my opinion. I know they got it because he's been repping at both left guard and right guard and also center. But I think if somebody was to go down, I don't think it would be Bryce Lovett to fill in at right guard. I think you plug in Kearney. I think he's the backup. If he's not, you know – I think he's the backup guard on either side if somebody was to go down. In my opinion, this is not anything from the coaches, but this is just how I'm reading in between the lines a little bit.
I want to ask you a question. I'm going to talk about right tackle, then I'm going to get to that question. Right tackle, big surprise here. I think a lot of people, maybe not a surprise, but I think a lot of people had penciled in Brendan Crenshaw Dixon, the South Diego, or San Diego State. I kept saying South Dakota this offseason. San Diego State transfer, Brendan Crenshaw Dixon behind Cam Waits at that right tackle position, and then Caden Jones, the redshirt freshman. Corey, what are your thoughts?
Can't wait, man. Won the job out. I wasn't very high on, neither was Nick. Nick can make it tonight, but Nick wasn't high on Crenshaw Dixon at that right tackle to transfer. He didn't hear great things from other coaches in the league out there where he came from. So glad that Cam Waits won the spot. Also, they feel real good about Caden Jones from what I understand, yeah. Man. I know he's a young boy, but I know they feel really good about him at the position. But this is not the type of game that you want to throw him into fresh out of high school. But, I'm surprised because what we were hearing is the starting five and right tackle was kind of, you know, locked in a little bit. I knew they wasn't high on him, Dixon, that right tackle, but I thought he had the spot. So for Cam Waits to win it, he didn't look great that FSU game, that last game he played, but he also wasn't 100% healthy coming off a major surgery, major injury. Correct. So we'll see how it all plays out. Good matchup. He's going to get tested for sure in front of Leonard Taylor. So we'll see if he's developing and Sale got him right. Either way, we're ready to judge that line this fall for sure.
Yeah, we've got a 6'6 and a quarter, 6'3, 6'4 and a half, 6'6 and 6'8 at the line of scrimmage, which is what you want. That's the size that you want. Corey, I wanted to ask you a quick question. If Damian George isn't performing, we see Cam Waits listed as right guard. Do you think that there's a potential situation where you could see Cam Waits moving in to right guard and Brennan Crenshaw Dixon moving up to right tackle?
That's a possibility as well. I don't know how well Cam Waits has done. I know he's repped that right guard, but I want to see, they got to put Kearney on the field. So I would like if Cam Waits is my right tackle, is a very, it's a lot of responsibility at that spot. So I'd rather not, you know, fool around and have the shenanigans going at tackle. If you're going to whiff a little bit, I'd rather be inside than outside. You feel me? So in my opinion, I would like to see Kearney go at guard, either one of the guards go down and keep Cam Waits if he's the starting tackle at tackle. But I mean, at all times, you got to put your best five on the field.
Absolutely. Tight end, we got Arliss Boardingham. No surprise. Amir Jackson and Tony Livingston listed in the or situation right behind Arliss Boardingham. Hayden Hansen, 6'7 and 3/4 inches tall. I knew he was tall, man. I don't know if I knew he was almost 6'8".
Big boy.
267 pounds, being backed up by Scott Isaacs and Tony Livingston at the tight end position.
Man, Hayden may on the lowest of keys be a big weapon, bro. That's a huge kid.
Yeah.
Him run a little faster in space, but being 6'8", you're not going to be the most agile and most, like, just, you know, the lightest on your feet. But that's a really big target, especially in the red zone.
Yeah, Scott Isaacs is a former walk-on. His dad actually played offensive line at Louisiana, played in 7 games last season in 2023. I think the one name that you don't see there is the transfer from the Air Force. Certainly that could be a name in the future as well at the tight end position. But again, no surprise. That's Caleb Relos, I believe is his name, from Air Force. So that's a name that could potentially be a name in the future. And then Gavin Hill is also a name missing from there, if you're familiar with the depth chart. So good to see Amir Jackson in that OR position too. 4-star guy, came in during the summer, so didn't have that spring camp to be able to earn that spot. But to be able to come in and be on an OR situation with Tony Livingston, in my opinion, means great things for him. And we've heard good things about Tony Livingston this offseason as well. Quarterback Graham Mertz, obviously. DJ Lagway, 239 pounds, DJ Lagway, and then Clay Millen after him at the quarterback position. Another kind of surprise. We weren't exactly sure what would happen with Montrell Johnson going into this game, but right now listed as the starter with Treyon Webb. And then Jaden Baugh is in that third spot with, no, I'm sorry, Jaden Baugh, KD Daniels, and Jacoby Jackson are all listed in that third spot. Corey, we've got that in numerical order. You got Montrell Johnson, then Treyon Webb. Who do you got as your 3? Who do you got as your 4? And who do you got as your 5? Or if it matters.
Those are kind of, I got I got Jayden Ball as my third, you know, just off of from what I heard camp wise. But Jackson, all these guys had good camps.
Yeah.
But I think 13 is just one of them special guys. You got to get the ball in his hands, man. Clearly, he's one of the bigger backs on the team. He's the biggest back at 227.
Yep, 227. Jacoby Jackson's 209. Caden right. Daniels, 197. Tre'Davious Webb, 211. And Montrell Johnson sitting at 216. Any further thoughts on the offense before we get to defense?
Nah.
Very good.
I don't have any.
At the F position, we've got Justice Boone, Cameron James, or Tyreek Sapp, and then LJ McCray after that. I think that I speak for the group when I say we probably expect Justice Boone to get the most snaps there, but was told not to count out Cam James being able to be a playmaker this season. And then certainly Tyreek Sapp is a guy that we've seen, you know, make an impact when he's had the opportunity. So Corey, what are your thoughts on that F position?
I think we'll see everybody in that position group play on Saturday. I'm hearing that the better pass rushers out of that bunch is James Cameron and LJ McCray, while the older guys are probably more stout in the run department, being older guys and in the strength and conditioning program a little bit longer. But true pass rushing and just pure pass rushing standpoint, I'm hearing that Cameron James and LJ McCray are going to be hard to keep off of the field, especially Cameron James. So we'll see how the reps play out. You know, I expect Justice Boone to start. He got that one. He's going to be one of the captains on the team. Knock some rust off that game one. He missed all of last fall. Excited to see what he brings to the table. But, yeah, from what I'm hearing, 24 had a really good camp. It's going to be hard to keep him off the field.
Absolutely. At nose tackle, we got Dez Watson, 6'5", still says 449. I don't think he's still 449 pounds. Or Cam Jackson. I think Cam Jackson is going to be your starter. There's going to be times that Florida puts in, you know, certainly there's seeing that the or situation's there, maybe we're going to get more than the 10, 12 snaps we thought we might get out of Dez Watson this year.
Not ideal.
Not in your book.
But, no, that's not an ideal situation, man. Yeah. You don't want Dez really getting more reps than that. I'm interested to see how they adjust. Because at some point, even if Cam and Dez are both playing well, they still going to need a breather. And I don't think they're going to bring in the freshman to spell them. So I expect one of the other guys, Slackman, Caleb Banks, somebody else to slide inside and get some inside reps.
Okay,
we're going to need somebody from a bunch of different standpoints. Attrition. It's going to be impossible to keep both of those guys healthy the entire fall. You're just going to need somebody else to spell them. And I don't know if the freshman is the guy that I want right there. The closer you get to the ball, the tougher it is to play in college football as a freshman.
The other position that you will notice there as well is the end position. Florida considers that the other defensive tackle position. You have Caleb Banks, 6'5". And 3/4, 325 pounds, or Joey Slackman, 6'3" and a half, 300 pounds, the transfer from University of Pennsylvania, and then Kelby Collins after that at 6'3" and 3/4, 278 pounds. You've heard some good things about Caleb Banks. Obviously, there's some high expectation about what we might get out of Joey Slackman this year. But again, that's what you're going to see at that other defensive tackle position. And I think I agree. If there's a situation where Cam Jackson might not be able to play and it's more of a, you know, 50-50, whether it's going to be a run or a pass, I think that there's a chance that one of those guys slide in. I do think if it's a run, I think Dez Watson is going to be your guy on run support there.
Yeah, one thing about the defensive line, they're heavy. This is a big, stout defensive line. Like, we have a big, strong team on both sides of the ball. There's a noticeable size difference from the Dan Mullen era and then what we're doing right now. But even the freshman, like I'm saying that he may not play, but he's 6'4", 351. So, like, there's plenty of size there. He carries that size well. So he may be okay, despite just not an ideal situation as a true freshman in the SEC
right.
Playing defensive tackle, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. At the jack position, we've got TJ Searcy or George Gums Jr. Searcy 6'5", 262, Gum 6'4", 249, and then after that is Jack Pyburn, 6'3", 265. Any surprises there? I kind of thought this wouldn't be an or situation. I thought it might be an or between Gums and Pyburn maybe, or maybe just the order without the or. But excited to see TJ Searcy. Heard he's had a good camp. We saw some flashes of him last year as well. Excited about him, but Corey, you've been driving the George Gums train all off season.
Yeah, it's a whole hive on Twitter, man. Y'all can join us and become a part of this community and family. But yeah, TJ Searcy is one of the better pass rushers, but George Gums had a very good spring and a very good fall. He's one of the more talented pass rushers on the team as well. I expect that room, those two guys to rotate quite a bit. The other end room as well, I expect everybody in that room, for Caleb Banks, Slackman, Kevin Collins, I expect that whole room to play on Saturday. But I don't think there's any drop-off between Gums and Searcy. I think you're going to get two solid pass rushes. I do want to see Searcy get better in pass rushing. I thought he was good last year, but he definitely can improve. But he's a true freshman. But I'm expecting some – my expectations in that room is very high between those two guys as far as getting to the passer.
Absolutely. Yeah, asked to do a lot last year. Hopefully that experience transfers over into this year. Linebacker position, no surprise. We've got Shamar James starting at linebacker, 6'1 and a quarter, 229 pounds. Junior year could be a really big year for him. Might be the last year for Shamar James if we see what we expect out of him. Miles Graham or RJ Moten, the former safety from Michigan that played safety a bit last year. Very memorable and unmemorable at the same time, but I'm excited to see what might be of Miles Graham as he spurns Shamar James when he needs to tap his helmet.
Yeah, it's a solid starting group at linebacker. Senior, older guys, experience, and a lot of talented young pups right behind them. Man, ideal situation. While I like Miles Graham and I also like Aaron Childs, both of those guys do not need to be starting right now.
Yeah.
But towards the middle of the season, we'll see how they develop and if they can pick up more reps. But not bad talent. Guys that can get sideline to sideline. Also athletic enough to guard running backs and tight ends and maybe even a slot. We're just more athletic at a position and also have guys that can come downhill and actually tackle now and be true linebackers and not be tweeners trying to learn a linebacker position. So, bro, this depth chart is just night and day, man, from where it was.
Yep. Yeah, no, absolutely. The other linebacker position, we got Grayson Pup Howard, 6'4", 238, transfer from South Carolina as a sophomore, or Derek Wingo. I know Nick said that Derek Wingo is going to probably start. You might see more out of him than maybe you expected, but right there with Pup Howard for that other linebacker spot, followed up by Jane Robinson on the depth chart. And I know that we've heard some good things about Jane Robinson. Played sparingly last season, but you know, at the end of the day, a good linebacker group, athletic, you know, and hope that Wingo can stay healthy and, you know, hopefully we can, you know, see some improvement out of him top to bottom. But excited about that linebacker crew. And then you add the strong side linebacker. You got George Gums, Aaron Childs, and then Jamarcus Weston on that list to round out that group. So Gums, Childs, and Weston. So right now it looks like Shamar James, George Gums, and either Pup Howard or Derek Wingo in a situation where Florida has three linebackers out there. So again, solid group and athletic group. Looking forward to seeing what they might do against Miami. At the star position, you have Sharif Denson, who played quite a bit last year. It had a lot of ups, a few downs, as could be expected as a freshman. Played amongst the most snaps on the team last year. Or Aaron Gates. Aaron Gates, you might remember, redshirted last year, very athletic, comes from an athletic family. Parents went to University of Florida. I've heard great things about Aaron Gates, too, and I expect to see a lot of Aaron Gates this season.
Yeah, excited about both of those guys at the spot. I don't think you could go wrong with either one of those guys at the star. but it's going to be a very important position on Saturday. Whoever's at that spot got to guard with Shreppo. I think that's going to be their, you know, their check down guy, the guy that moves the sticks. He's kind of a utility for them, very important guy for them. So I need Sharif Denson, Aaron Gates to scrap down, baby. You know, we scrap that down, stuff that run, it can get ugly in the swamp. But I need them boys scrap down for sure.
As my buddy Unique Productions says, time to suck air, fellas. time to suck air. Let's look at the cornerback position. We've got Jason Marshall followed up by Jakeem Jackson and the freshman Teddy Foster. Excited to see Teddy Foster's name there. The other cornerback position, Devin Moore, Dijon Johnson, and then Jameer Grimsley. Jameer Grimsley, obviously, the freshman that went to Alabama for maybe 48 hours before transferring to Florida. But that's a solid linebacking or a solid cornerback crew right there. Expect a big step up from what we saw Jason Marshall last year. We know he has talent. And then Jakeem Jackson's right there, you know, took his took a couple whips last year at that position. And then Devin Moore. I was on a ESPN station earlier today in Northwest Florida, and they asked me a guy who on the defense is a name that maybe a lot of people don't know of. And I said that Devin Moore, if he can stay healthy, is the type of guy that can be an all SEC, maybe an all American type player. But excited about what that group of Marshall, Jackson, Moore, and Johnson could be.
Yeah, man, I think people sleeping on what the secondary could possibly be. We'll see if they live up to the hype. Most of the secondary is guys that we beat Miami for. Right, you look up and down, man. From Dijon, Jameer, Devin Moore, Jordan Castell, Jason Marshall, Jakeem Jackson, Teddy Foster. All these are guys. That's why we need to go at their secondary, because it's food. But these guys, if they live up to their potential, I know Cam Ward, I'm not going to like take away from him. I know we're doing our rivalry thing, but he can play a little bit. But those windows are going to be small, I think, in my opinion, with the secondary that we have, man. We can make it very hard for him to be able to complete some passes with the secondary we got. So looking forward to seeing that room big time.
And then at the safety positions, on one safety position, we got Jordan Castell, no surprise there, followed by Tricoz Bridges. And then Gregory Smith, your guy, enters the depth chart there as a freshman. And then the other safety position is Asa Turner, the transfer from Washington, DJ Douglas, the transfer from Tulane, and then Bryce Thornton, who we saw a bit last year at that safety position as well. But, you know, again, no surprise, Jordan Castell and Asa Turner. But I think Marshall, Castell, Turner, and Devin Moore, I'm pretty excited about that, Corey.
Hey, some gangster things going on the back end. Pause. It's some gangster things going on, bro. I love that secondary. Size-wise, like, ain't no small dudes. Smallest dude is probably Sharif Denson at 5'11". He's every bit of 6 foot himself. So good size, you know, good speed, good strength, a lot of experience. You know, it's time to eat, man. Will Harris, like, bring this thing back. DBU. But I'm excited about the secondary, straight up. Even if we spell, like, who you think's the first come off the bench? I don't know if the cornerback, if it's left, right, really locked in like that. So you think it's Jakeem Jackson or Dijon to come off the bench first if one of those guys to go down? You're muted, Dan.
I think it's Jakeem. I think we saw a little bit more out of Jakeem last year. I'm still very high on Dijon Johnson. I think that he's a great player. But I think Jakeem is probably the next one off of that, out of that group. But, you know, again, we'll see what it looks like, right? But I don't know what the snap differential will be between Jakeem Jackson or Dijon Johnson. I mean, obviously think that there's going to be a big drop off between them. And if you get down to Teddy Foster, Jameer Grimsley, you don't want to see, you know, that probably early on in a game. But yeah, I think Jakeem first and then Dijon second off the bench.
Yeah, nobody should be shocked that Kamani McClain isn't on the depth chart right now. Like, there's no surprise there. We've been saying that. We expect him not to play this fall, to be a guy that I don't even think on special teams. We're going to see how patient he is and how much he matures this fall, you know, but this is a part of the process. He's going to have to wait his turn as a quote-unquote walk-on. We got guys capable at the position that already got their head on straight. So It's a developmental process with Cremonie, you know, but he'll be ready to play next year.
And then what happened with Cam Carroll? Is he still injured? He's coming off a very bad injury. I still think that there's a chance that he could play this year. That group is pretty loaded in terms of number of bodies and everything else. So there certainly could be a chance that he plays or earns a spot, but I don't know whose spot he earns, right? He was not working out during the spring, not much during the summer. I know he's back now, and I know that there's a chance, but I just don't know how much you could expect to see out of Cam Carroll this season. At kickoff, Trey Smack, no surprise. Place kicking, Trey Smack. Punter, Jeremy Crawshaw. Long snapper, Rocco Underwood. A holder is going to be Jeremy Crawshaw. Kickoff returner, bunch of oars here. Montrell Johnson or Elijah Badger or Jaden Ball or Jacoby Jackson. We mentioned this a little bit a couple weeks ago. Maybe we were some soothsayers here. We said, hey, maybe the chance for a Jaden Ball or a KD Daniels or a Jacoby Jackson might be on kickoff return. And sure enough, you see Jaden Ball and Jacoby Jackson there. And then you have Montrell and Elijah Badger. So again, you know, that position is a little bit more than just who's your fastest guy, right? There's more to it. Fielding a kickoff is hard, right? And I know a lot of these end up in touchbacks and everything else, but Corey, any surprises on kickoff return?
No, I actually like it. I don't think it'll be Montrell game one. Wouldn't mind seeing either one of those guys. I like running backs getting the kickoff just from a standpoint, but especially Jaden Ball. He got top end speed, but vision wise, being able to break tackles and make something happen. I like the kickoff. I know there's some people on the timeline complaining about all the oars and the names that are in the kickoff room. Tank Hawkins is banged up a little bit right now. I think healthy, you see him as part of this crew right here, either kickoff or punt return, in my opinion. But he's not healthy right now. I'm not mad at either of those four returning. Would want Montrell in game one coming off of the injury situation and recovering, bouncing back. Would not like to see him on kickoff. I would like to see the other three, though. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. And then punt return, Eugene Wilson or DK? Corey, any thoughts there?
I got to see more wiggle from DK for him to be at punt return. I think punt return just require a little bit more wiggle. And I don't want us to get too safe with just trying to get a for sure catch, man. I think that's an opportunity to make a play happen and flip fields at sometimes, but loved Eugene Wilson there as a starter. We'll see what DK brings to the table. Don't want to be too down on it, but I like my punt returns to have more wiggle.
Yeah, he returned kicks, and in 2023, he returned 12 punts for Wisconsin. DK did. He was 12 returns for 108 yards, a 9-yard average on punt return, on kick return. He returned 20 total kicks there, 270 or 472 yards, pardon me, at 23.6 yard average. So, you know, SEC solid is a little bit different, but, you know, 9 yards, not bad. I mean, it's been a while since Florida's been able to make really any headway at the punt return position and really move the ball downfield. So, you know, again, for that position, you not only want the wiggle and the speed, but you also want the ability to know that you can catch the ball in traffic, and then be able to move your head and watch, you know, have your eyes watch where your potential blockers are, where the holes are, to be able to make that move. So I don't think when we were talking about punt return, If DK was a name that we mentioned. Obviously Eugene Wilson was, we saw him a little bit last year, but you know, certainly DK has definitely some experience, and we know that Billy Napier, if anything, out of special teams, wants reliability out of that position.
Yeah, no, I'm not mad at it, man. You gave me some stats and some real information on it, but we'll see how it all plays out. At least we know we got a for sure veteran guy back there with some experience with both of the punt returners. Not mad at it, man. I'm not mad at none of the special teams. Just make sure we get 11 on the field, cuz.
With that, Corey, I do want to go over, just because we didn't have this list, and we're going to give Shout out to In All Kinds of Weather, because he compiled this list of visitors, pardon me, for this weekend. Let's zoom in on this list for you a little bit.
Let's see. Yeah, I got my reading glasses, man.
Yeah. We'll do two more here. All right. So right now the Miami visitor list, or the visitor list for the Florida Miami game, is DJ Pickett, committed to LSU, four-star linebacker Ty Jackson, four-star defensive lineman Malik Autry, committed to Auburn, four-star commit Vernell Brown III, four-star commit Joshua Brown, four-star commit Jalen Wiggins, four-star commit Tayshaun Gelce, four-star commit Waltez Clark, who went off last weekend. We didn't mention him. He went off here in Tampa for Plant High School. Four-star wide receiver Cortez Mills, who's committed to Oklahoma. Four-star athlete Demetrius Samuel, who's committed to Florida. Three-star defensive lineman Jacquez Carter, who's committed to Ohio State. Three-star defensive lineman Jeremiah McLeod, committed to the Gators. Three-star commit Miles Johnson. Three-star running back Chad Gasper, and three-star defensive lineman Joseph Mabachu, who has picked up Georgia and Alabama and Texas offers over the last couple of weeks. A bunch of 2026 guys you might know, four-star edge Trenton Henderson, Jazavian Kearns, the four-star safety, two commits, the four-star defensive back Jalen Waters, four-star QB commit Will Griffin, pardon me, and then a third three-star safety commit Devin Jackson will be committed. But feel free to look at his timeline if you want to see who else might be visiting. There is the two Boozer twins visiting for basketball, and there is a top 31 basketball player visiting this weekend as well. So the Swamp should be raucous. And then Anthony Beck, appreciate you. Cortez Mills is not visiting anymore. Florida not allowing anybody committed to Miami to come up for this weekend. So
very nice. I like that, Billy. I like that, bro. You cannot enjoy paradise, man. You cannot come enjoy our facilities and the venue if you're part of the ops.
Yeah, you cannot eat on our dime. You cannot eat on our dime. Corey, that's where we're at, man. We're 3 days away from 3:30 in the Swamp, coming over pretty toasted from the Flow Factory tailgate.
Vibes, baby. Yeah, we hanging out heavy. Shout out to Golden for being just a smart recruiter and getting the Boozer twins in on such a electrifying weekend, because the vibes about to be crazy. They're going to get to see this city on tilt a little bit, man. But, yeah, the tailgate, if y'all haven't copped a ticket, cop a ticket. We hanging out heavy, big, from 10 all the way to 3 p.m. We're about an 8-minute walk from the stadium. You can go on poshvip.com or go to our Twitter account for Flow Factory, and there's a link right there on the page. So, in all kind of weather, man, pull up.
And then I had the opportunity to go down to the Sarasota Gator Club. So appreciate them for having me. I got to sit down with Kelly Ray Finley, the women's basketball coach. We agreed that she didn't really want to do an interview. I was cool not doing one too, but we got to chop it up about her team. She's excited about the top talent that they have on their team. One of their players, Corey, I didn't know this, was the point guard on the U.S. women's gold medal team. A couple weeks ago in the Olympics. So so she's excited for her to join. And then Shaquille O'Neal's daughter is going to be joining as well. But Kelly Ray's awesome. There might be a chance Kelly Ray comes on the show in the not too distant future. But we did get to sit down, 5-6 minute interview with Todd Golden. You can see that on our YouTube page. Just a good, really good interview. He had the opportunity to talk about his team. He's excited about what the team's going to be this upcoming season. But got to talk to Mick Hubert for a little bit at that event. That was kind of a surprise guest. He might be coming on to the show here pretty soon here, Nick. So got the chance to talk to Sean Kelly again. He appreciated his time on Stadium Miguel as well. But, man, we appreciate everybody. A couple listeners came up and said hello. So always appreciate you guys for showing love. It's 10 o'clock, so we should probably wrap up. Make sure you hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Corey, enjoy Gainesville, my friend. Have a happy Labor Day. Enjoy Labor Day, everybody. Go Gators.
Go Gators, man. Gators big on Saturday, bro. You know what I'm saying? You're going to wish you was in the city if you're not in the city, dog, because Gators big, baby.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see you guys. Same corner, different time next week. Appreciate you.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.